Welcome to Advanced Automation, a podcast by Calvary Robotics, where you'll find industry leaders and experts sharing their thoughts on the world of automation.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening. I'm Josh Gravel, your host for this installment of Advanced Automation. Today, we have with us Mark Arnold, Electronic Product Sales Manager for SMC Corporation of America. Thanks for joining me today, Mark.
Josh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. We're excited to talk to you about some sustainability and automation and increased machine monitoring. But before we get into that big topic, I want you to take us through your personal history and let people know how you got to where you are today.
All right, Josh, thank you. So I started out in my engineering career. I actually graduated with an engineering degree in mechanical engineering. And so it's a little long history there, how I got into the electronic side. But I started out as a machine design engineer, really doing similar work to what Calvary does, building custom automation equipment, and did that for a number of years. Then had an opportunity to go into a component design and manufacturing for another major supplier, and did that for a while, becoming an engineering manager, and got to oversee the product design from start to finish, and got involved a little bit on the marketing side. Later on, I kind of broke out of my shell and was offered a position with SMC as a sales application engineer, and really found that even though I was an introverted engineer, I found that sales actually became a passion of mine, going out and seeing customers, helping them, and seeing all the different things in the industry. And so I've been with the SMC 17 and a half years doing that. And in the course of that career, I saw a lot of opportunity and growth in the electronic side, the advancements in the automation in that respect versus the mechanical. So one thing led to another, and now I'm in the product sales manager role for our electronics side.
That's great. That was a quick, but that's a lot to pack into that short little explanation. So thank you. And for the listeners that are unfamiliar with SMC, or maybe just to give a refresh for those that are familiar, can you talk about the company?
So SMC is a very large global corporation in automation. They started in 1959, and they were involved in the pneumatics industry for longest time, what most people know SMC for, and started creating filter elements, and then went along and created valves and regulators and the air preparation equipment, actuators, and so on. So most people know us for that. And the last 15, 20 years, we really started expanding what we do and become more of a general automation vendor. And in my role is expanding the electronic product line, getting that word out of, hey, SMC is more than pneumatics and automation. So really a lot of different aspects of the equipment provider.
Wonderful. Who's the typical customer for SMC?
So that's really interesting because we do so many things for so many different industries. A lot of people know us on the machine side for automation, industrial automation, and automotive is a big one for us, a big industry. We also get into semiconductor manufacturing, food and packaging, even resource such as mining, wastewater treatment. And the other one is life science. So we do a lot for life science equipment. So we're across a wide variety of industries. Your typical customer can be a very small mom and pop shop to a multi-billion dollar global corporation. So we're kind of everywhere, let's just put it that way.
And what is the process then working with SMC? For somebody who hasn't, kind of how does that go?
So SMC, we have both direct sales in some aspects, but we do a lot through our distribution partners. They add a lot of value for us with local inventory and local support. And you're getting with SMC, you can find your local distribution channel on our website, smcusa.com. Work with them in the first part of it, start that initial conversation of what your needs are, and work with them and our local representatives in your area.
So you spoke of some of the industries you're in. Could you just maybe list some other ones that maybe didn't make the first list you just talked about, or where you're breaking into some of the newer industries?
So I think we're really trying to, I mentioned the resource industry, but process industry is a unique one. Where we're doing the mining, the material extraction, even chemical processing, things like that are non-traditional markets for us. The factory automation, the discrete automation, such as Calvary specializes in, is something that we've really done for a long time. We feel real comfortable with, but really any automation is unique. The automotive side has changed quite a bit too. The internal combustion engine obviously given away to the EV, the battery manufacturing, and that's a huge push to a lot of specialty equipment for that. So we're constantly changing, constantly evolving to the needs of our different industries, our different customers have to offer.
Great. So kind of segueing perfectly, thank you, the sustainability and automation. And What are you seeing for like increase in requests for products that are manufactured sustainably? And then are the requests coming from the system integrators like Calvary Robotics, the end users, or just the general marketplace?
I think overall, you know, I think if the customer had a choice between two different products, otherwise identical, the one that would be manufactured sustainably would be their choice. Although, you know, things, they're real simple, common sense. So for us, you know, we're reducing our CO2 consumption by reducing the use of aluminum in our manufacturing, say, pneumatic actuators. There's a lot of aluminum used in the extrusion of that. If we can reduce the amount of mass that's involved in that, we can reduce the amount of CO2 emissions. But the advantage for the machine builder, for instance, becomes a lighter weight product. So now they have a lighter weight product they can use on the robot end of arm tooling. So that gives the robot more capacity to do more material handling or even a smaller robot. So it starts compounding over time. If you reduce your material resources, you reduce the energy consumption, reduce the size of the equipment, and it again compounds overall.
Yeah, that's interesting. Think about it that way. That's great. So for the products that are manufactured sustainably, to creating more energy efficient machines, how do you see that overall landscape, you know, shifting? I know you kind of just started touching on that, but how are you seeing that play out?
So I think a lot of the end users that are using the equipment are really starting to look at their overall cost of manufacturing. And we don't see it quite as much in the U.S., but you look at countries in Europe where the energy costs have skyrocketed due to the recent, you know, global events. And so kilowatt hour is important to them. And if we can reduce that energy consumption one way, shape, or another, it's very key. And so they look at that long-term cost of the equipment and the equipment running, any way they can reduce that.
That's great. So then pneumatic versus electric, between the two, what are you seeing in the field?
Well, there's a big call for this where pneumatic is a great prime mover, as it were, is a great way to have motion very economically as far as the initial cost. Yeah. But I'm going to give you the engineering answer of it depends, not a yes, no answer. It really depends on the application. Pneumatics are not as efficient as electric for a given application. It's simple math. We can do some those numbers and say that, okay, you reduce your energy consumption going purely to electric. But it depends on, is it idle or not? Is it running all the time? There's a lot of math that goes involved into it. The real thing that people are looking for, not just the energy costs, but also, hey, if I go all electric, I don't have to have a compressor. I don't have to have the maintenance of that. And so their facility, maybe a smaller facility, they don't have to purchase that compressor. So when you start adding up, again, the total cost, not just the energy efficiency, but the extra components, people are pushing more for the electric automation. And they're seeing some other benefits, such as reduced noise, things of that nature, smoother motion, multiple positions. But pneumatics is going to be around for a long time because the cost per power size, the cost of a lot of way that you apply the product can handle impact better. There's a lot of little things. So one of the things SMC wants to do is be able to do both. You know, we'll look at each application, work with our OEMs, and make sure we provide the correct product for their application.
So equipment that can monitor consumption and reduce usage in automation. Can you talk to that?
Yes. So one of the products that SMC has really pushed hard in the last couple of years is our air management system. And we're able to go in and not only monitor the air consumption, but also if a machine goes to an idle state, let's say the operator goes to lunch, the machine's not producing parts. Why do you need full line pressure on that? Maybe we can reduce that pressure from, let's say, 80 PSI down to 40. Every pneumatic system leaks. No matter how perfect it is, they will eventually have wear on the seals. So if you can reduce that consumption by half during that time that the machine's idle, that's a big savings. And it's a lot of energy that is otherwise wasted. So being able to monitor that, see what your conditions are, and do something with it and automate that to where you can reduce that energy and not just see what's going out the door, but also do something about it in a very simple fashion.
It sounds like that brings us to the next part of that, right? The equipment monitoring for industrial Internet of Things, or IIoT. So I'm being able to see that information that we're gathering right now. How does that play into any of your new products or current?
So absolutely. So the other part of the air management system is, you know, you can't improve your process until you know what your process is doing. So if you're able to go in and see, okay, I'm consuming so many liters per minute or CFM of air. Okay, that's what my normal state is. And then if it deviates from that, you know, if it gets worse, then how do I act upon that? You know, so that's the part of it that makes a lot of sense to us on the pneumatic side. Hey, how can we reduce the air consumption, that less efficient energy source? But the device also has the ability to bring in other inputs. Let's say you want to add a current sensor in there. So it's how many amps am I drawing on this particular piece of equipment? That allows you to, again, baseline and start doing what we call condition-based monitoring or condition-based maintenance. You know, when we were younger, that your car, you just change oil every 3,000 miles. You didn't, you know, no matter how you drove it, you just did that, or 5,000, right, depending on who you were. Now your car tells you when you need to change oil, because if you were driving in the city or driving on the highway, it's different. So now being able to monitor the equipment and see what the needs are. Now I can change my filters. I can go in. I can see that a bearing is starting to fail. And now I can prevent this maintenance issue of, hey, having my machine down during the week. I can schedule a preventive maintenance schedule on the weekend when the machine's idle. So there's a lot more to it. Knowing what your machine is doing and being able to predict what's going to fail and stop that downtime.
Yeah. Do it before it's needed. Exactly. Almost, right? Yeah, that's awesome. What is SMC's process for developing, you know, all these new products that you're kind of talking about?
So, you know, very honestly, it's customer driven. You know, we're really focused on listening to our customer needs and being able to take those and bring those to market. You know, we've done a lot of product development that I've been around in my 17 years that it's like, oh, that's really interesting. Well, you know, why are we doing this? You know, and this particular customer faced a problem and they approached us for a solution. And so having that customer attention, you know, SMC is, again, global. We have a lot of people out in the field. And we really listen to what our customer needs are. So we will take those customer needs and we have a process to feed that back through our marketing and engineering teams and help them build a business case to develop that product. And we go back and forth with the customer. We get a lot more information in detail. And, you know, like any other development, we have to figure out what the ROI is on it. So it's a simple change. We'll just invest, you know, a little bit, a few hours of engineering time. We can create a specialty product one-off. But if it's something that, hey, we see a wider marketplace, you know, it may take a couple of years to develop it, but, you know, the potential quantity is high and we can pay that off. So, you know, it's sometimes it may not be the quickest pace, but when we get the product released, it's really fine tuned. We really know what the market needs, what that particular customer needs. And so, you know, it can range from, hey, we can do something in a matter of a month. We can do something in a matter of 2 years or longer. And so, we are really also prideful about how we can do mass production. So again, the more quantity we can build, the better the chance is that we'll produce the new product. So we have to make sure there's a good business case for quantity as well.
Right. So do you guys control your supply chain pretty well then, from what it sounds like?
Yes, we do. And that's another interesting viewpoint for us. We have something we call the BCP, and that's the Business Continuity Plan. Again, referring to the events of the last 5 years, there's been the global pandemic we all know about, and the supply chain issues they're called, the war in Ukraine that's affected supply chain. And SMC has always been very vertically integrated. We do most of everything we do in-house. So product development, manufacturing. So we really try to control that. And in the last couple of years with this BCP, we're also diversifying our manufacturing locations. So if we have a plant, let's say in Japan, for instance, we want to make sure there's another plant somewhere in the world that can provide the same manufacturing capability or switch over very quickly. So we've moved manufacturing to a lot of different countries in the world. We're continuing to expand here in the U.S. We have a 2.6 million square foot facility near Indianapolis, and we're filling that full of new equipment, new warehousing, more engineers. So, we can produce products that are previously produced elsewhere. So we really, really want to focus on, we continue to supply our customers without disruption.
I might have missed it at the top, so I apologize if I did. What is the kind of employee total that you guys have globally, roughly?
Oh, goodness. I wish I could answer this accurately, but it's over 10,000. So.
Well, that's accurate enough.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people, though.
That's substantial. We're in 140 countries globally, I believe. So we have locations and our distributor partners throughout the globe. So wherever the equipment is found or even sent to, ship to, we'll have somebody that can help support it. So I think that's important to our OEMs to know that if they ship a piece of equipment across the world, they're going to have local SMC support wherever that equipment ends up.
Yeah, and that is very important. I agree. So back to the sustainability aspect, for specific criteria or certifications that need to be followed to have a product considered sustainable, how does that play into your products?
So we look at a few things. I mean, there are global certifications actually on the use of materials. And, you know, for example, electronics, there's the ROHS, the Rojas Declaration, so we don't use heavy metals in that. So we know that products that we produce are environmentally sustainable. You know, there's products that end up at end of life that when they are discarded, they're not going to cause an environmental hazard. So there are some very official global regulations that are involved in some of the manufacturing. Otherwise, you know, when we have the Japanese spirit of Kaizen, which is, you know, continuous improvement. So as our products continue their life cycle, there's constant things that we change. You know, as I mentioned earlier, let's say we take some weight out of the product by reducing the amount of aluminum in it. You know, we can do some more structural analysis, say we really don't need this reinforcing material here. Let's take some out. So you'll see on most of our catalogs on new release, there'll always be some kind of percentage of size reduction, weight reduction. And so you can relate that back to sustainability by, you know, less consumption of materials.
Great. So then the integration of the sustainable manufacturing practices of automation equipment, contributing to just reducing the overall environmental impact. It's a big kind of question, lofty, but how do you see that playing out?
Well, yeah, to give another example that we previously mentioned, the EV market, where people are creating the manufacturing facilities and manufacturing these EV batteries. You know, one of the things that's very important for these companies is that these batteries are produced environmentally friendly. And if we can go in and actually have measurables, let's say that the battery manufacturer, we know what it costs to make that battery, not only in raw material costs, but the energy costs. Mm-hmm. So if you use, for example, our air management system, you can see that I consume so many kilowatts of electricity to produce this battery. So now if two people have the identical battery, the one that's more environmentally manufactured is the winner. And so the having numbers and proof behind that is also a key factor for these manufacturers to know the true environmental cost to produce the product is actually an interesting viewpoint. But I think that's something a lot of manufacturers are looking forward to.
That's wonderful. So organizations that are looking to have a greener footprint, as you might say, how can they leverage these improvements to align with the sustainability goals? Is it something that, do you guys kind of help your customers lean towards that, or do you rely on them to ask you for your products that are most sustainable? How does that play out?
I think it's both ways. I think, you know, you look at the global corporations, they all have a mission statement that involves, you know, environmental and sustainability, you know, and there's words and then there's actions. And now that these customers, they're looking for the measurables. So how can they decide, you know, that their processes and manufacturing are truly sustainable? Well, they have to measure it. And, you know, we're providing equipment that gives them that ability to measure it. We give them the ability to have numbers, and we can even teach them and train them the best practices as well. Not only being able to see what's going on, but we can give them the idea of this process is more efficient if you do it this way. So we really try to partner with our customers. To segue a little bit off of that, we actually do energy audits with a lot of our customers at their facilities. We'll actually go through and check for leaks, but also say, hey, why are you running 100 PSI when this process will be just fine at 60? You know, just reduce your consumption. And we really try to educate them and come back to them. So there's an ask from them, but we also propose it as a value proposition. Hey, if you can use this equipment this way, this will really save you in the long run. And we want to be the subject matter experts to help you along.
Considering just what we've been talking about, what are some of the biggest challenges and opportunities then that you're seeing that you would kind of call attention to?
So the sustainability, there's always a cost benefit ratio. You know, if you look at it from the main viewpoint, say, okay, a sustainability is great. I believe in the idea, but how easy is it to implement? And so they look at total cost, you know, what's the ROI on this? And, you know, we can look at one machine, for instance, and say, hey, we can save you 60% of your compressed air consumption. You know, it's a big number. It's a measurable number. But if it's a small machine, well, that's $200 a year, you know, for just to take an extreme example, can say, so it's not going to be necessarily worth it in their mindset to add that cost to that piece of equipment. And so that's one of the challenges. So, but we have to look at, it's not just the sustainability side, you know, it's the fact that we can start monitoring the equipment, Downtime is a big issue, you know, too. Can we keep that machine running? Can we improve its overall operating efficiency by monitoring? So the value proposition has to be expanded beyond sustainability to get some attention sometimes. And we try to leverage our knowledge base of, hey, really, you can see what's going on in the equipment and utilize that more so than just, okay, I've saved this much compressed air and the electricity.
Anything that we haven't touched on or that might have left out that you'd like to add?
I think with SMC, you know, the topics we've discussed, the sustainability has come along a lot in the conversation. But I think our future SMC, we're really going to be looking at more of a digital architecture. You know, two words that people wouldn't have associated with SMC a few years ago, but having the ability to see what's going on with your whole machinery, and especially on the pneumatic side, we're again an expert, but adding on to this and adding other equipment into this as a full automation supplier, I think that's where SMC is going to differentiate themselves in the marketplace, is adding that intelligence to the machine. We continue to work with our end users and back to our OEMs to say, look, here is the value proposition. This is why you want to do this. And, you know, we also understand the labor market's a tough market. You know, automation, we've obviously seen a boom in the last few years because of the lack of the labor and the shortage there. But adding in ability to make the machine a little bit smarter, I guess, will help alleviate some of the shortcomings in labor. You know, if the HMI says, hey, this part right here is getting ready to fail, go get one from the stores and put it on versus a maintenance guy having to troubleshoot it. You know, there's going to be less people with 30 years of experience in the industry in just a few years. They're all going to be retired. So having this new younger generation, point them in the right direction, get them to where they can easily maintain these machines.
That's good. That's good to think. That's a good way to, you know, point it out. I think I like that, that it's helping, you know, forge the road for people ahead that you can't get years of experience just by any other way, right? Than experience. Right. So if this is going to help fill the gap, that's a great way. What about getting in touch with SMC? What do you recommend?
So the quickest way to see what we have to offer and what's going on with SMC is smcusa.com. That way you can see our product line. There's a way to contact us and you can find out who your local rep is. You can also through the contact part of it, but also it'll have a listing of our distribution channels, our partners there that throughout your regional location. So if you go into the global locator and the distributor locator, you can find distributors that service your little region or area. And they really do a good job of helping us out. Like I said, with local inventory, they're a partner there, their local technical support, and, you know, really just a way to combine their other offerings with SMC to create a full package for you. So that's the best ways to get in touch, I think, with SMC in general.
Great. And in general, just any, you know, social media, LinkedIn, those sort of things, and email. I'm sure you have emails going out to let people know just about updates and products and just getting up to date.
Yes, we do. And, you know, there's ways to LinkedIn is a great source. You know, we put a lot of stuff there. We have an Instagram channel as well. So if you want to see, you know, some of the product releases, we do social media that way. And I do try to post on social media, some on LinkedIn, that is, keep, you know, professional, just kind of sharing some neat things that I see within the company. And that's also, if you do want to get in touch with me, you can find me on LinkedIn. You know, it's another industrial automation professional contact. You know, I like to reach out to people in the industry and share ideas. And so that's something that if you need to contact me, that's a good way to do it.
Wonderful. Well, I thank you for your time today. It was a great conversation.
Well, Josh, I appreciate it again and the opportunity, and look forward to the things to come.
And I invite all the listeners to subscribe to Advanced Automation wherever you get your podcasts, and head over to calvaryrobotics.com to listen to other episodes. You can watch Calvary TV and check out our new guide for engineers exploring system integrators, a free download. So head over to our website and download that today, and have a great one.